Hi, I'm Dr. Akiva Down.
And I'm Rabbi Avi Green.
And welcome to Interesting Questions.
In this podcast, we'll be addressing issues that are philosophical, religious, and psychological in nature.
We will be focusing on that which is considered to be controversial, and there may not be a right or wrong answer. So we are hoping that our discussions will yield more questions for your Shabbos table.
Shavua Tov, and we are back with our Thursday discussions. I would like to bring up a topic, Avi, that you and I were talking about very briefly and then decided rather quickly that it should be a topic for a Thursday. Free will, and what exactly that means from a Judaic standpoint, the idea that we have this free will, and yet we have this omniscient, omnipresent, clairvoyant God who knows what was, what is, and what will be. And I think that we don't have the same understanding of how that relates to free will. So I would love to hear your perspective on what that says for free will versus what it doesn't. And we can discuss from there.
Well, we can start with the oldest joke in the book. If it's free, I'll take two. But the real crux of the issue comes to the question of if God really knows everything, including what we are going to do, can such a thing as free will exist? From a Judaic perspective, multiple different commentaries and Jewish thinkers have talked about this. And they come at it from different perspectives. Everything from, no, there is no such thing as free will, to, yes, there are multiple paths that a person can go down, and God can know all of them. And I think that the place maybe to start is the concept that Hashem knows. Right, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyirat shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for fear of heaven. In other words, the idea that God knows everything and controls everything, except our relationship with God. That we, if we control, if we are able to choose our relationship with God, and that then impacts the decisions we make, then that is how free will and that is how free choice might exist. And so the idea that as we go along a path and we reach a decision point and we make a choice, whether it be a religious choice, a secular choice, a life choice, about something that we're going to do or not do, and then God provides us with the support to continue on its way. That may also be a way of looking at it as free will. In other words, God may know the way we are going to choose, but let us choose and supports that choice. And the example I might give for that, as strange as it may sound, is Paro. Right? One of the commentaries talks about how Paro hardens his heart against the Jewish people. And God hardens Paro's heart. And so the question is, well, why would God harden Paro's heart? And at least one of the commentaries suggests that it's because Paro wanted to harden his heart, but the responses that Hashem was pushing at him were so great, and the pressure was so much from the society around him, that he really needed God's help in order for it to be successful. And so God supported Paro's choice, even though it wasn't necessarily good for the Jewish people or for Paro. And so that's one possible perspective on it. Another is, like I said before, the idea that there are multiple paths down which a person can go. For any of us who are young enough to remember or old enough to remember, choose your own adventure books. Right? The choose your own adventure books let you start reading, and they say, and then they'd come to a decision point, and you could choose to go to this page for this answer or this page for that answer. And depending on where it went, you could follow along. And at the end of the day, sometimes it would lead you back to one of the decisions that you could have made before. Or in some cases, it just took you to the end of the book. And so I wonder if God, as the planner of the book, knows all the different possible paths. And therefore, God knows what the paths are and can be. And so no matter which one you choose, Hashem actually knows the path, but still allowed you to choose it. One of the other things we talked about, Akiva, was the idea of proactive punishment. If God knows you're going to do something, then shouldn't God either stop you from doing it or punish you, or even theoretically punish you in advance for doing it? And I'm trying to remember the exact example, but I know that we talk about in the Torah, in the Midrash, somebody who was going to do something wrong, and we say, why doesn't Hashem punish him in advance? And the answer is because we don't punish people for what they will become or may become. I'm thinking it may be Esav. And we don't punish people for what they will become, right? We only punish them for who they are in that moment. And if you have not yet committed the sin, we believe you have free choice to decide if you're going to do it or not, right? And so, therefore, we don't punish someone for something that they are going to do. Hashem doesn't do that.
So, Avi, I guess the way I think about it, and maybe that'll be a way to kind of figure out, and I don't know that it necessarily, by the way, follows one pathway, but I think in general, to me, it a little bit falls along the same line of we are not meant to know certain things, and just as we can accept that, I have to say, I kind of fall in the school of thought that even though we perceive that we have free will and we are destined and designed to have free will, that doesn't necessarily have to be mutually exclusive from God knowing exactly what we are doing, will do, and will do even before we come up with having the options to do it. I don't think that we're operating on the same planes of existence. So, and what do I mean by that? I kind of think about it as, so you mentioned the choose your own adventure books. Well, there's a newer style of that book for kids that actually I believe somebody who lives in our community authored. They're the What Should Danny Do books. And, you know, if you read them, they often teach great lessons about what Danny should do and essentially what our children should be doing. And even kids who choose not to make those choices know exactly which choices they are supposed to be making for Danny. And in that same light, just like our children know, all right, well, I'm supposed to choose to share, or I'm supposed to not push the other child, or I'm supposed to do this. They don't always do that in reality. And so I think that in many ways, if we're talking about the example of Esav, I have to say, I think I believe that Hashem knew from before the moment of conception that Esav would be born. And everything that ensued in Esau's life would ensue. Do I think that, and maybe it in part plays along with our idea of things being inscribed, written, and then sealed versus not sealed. And perhaps, even though, again, it's a different concept in some senses, we also believe that there's many books. And maybe it is that we have an option to shift, to change the way we operate, to change what we are doing, to make a better choice, or I suppose make a not better choice. And maybe we get the benefit of the doubt, which is why it's not... there was a movie that did the whole... they would go out and they would realize that there was something that was going to happen, a crime that was going to be committed. It's on the tip of my tongue.
It's with Tom Cruise. Yes, Tom Cruise, Minority Report.
Yes, exactly. And it turned out that they were... Well, I won't ruin it. But even though it's like a 20-year-old movie... you know what? Yeah, I'm going to ruin it. If you haven't seen it, it's 20 years old.
Go see it. Pause here.
Yep.
Go watch it.
Yeah.
And then you can come back.
Catch up. You're 20 years behind. So it turned out that they were falsifying and there were inappropriate accusations being made and things that were going to be happening.
They were wrong because people had free choice.
Right. But God doesn't operate like that. At least I would like to think God doesn't operate like that. And with that in mind, I think just because we have the opportunity to make a better choice each and every time, or to make a worse choice, or to make an intermediate choice, have all these different pathways, I don't know that God is necessarily looking at the maze from below on level. I kind of think that God might be able to see it from the 50,000-foot view and know exactly which way to go and which way we will go. And I don't know, I kind of take some comfort in that because I think it adds to the idea of bitachon in a way because it makes it, to my mind, maybe a little bit more plausible that, again, just because we don't understand something doesn't mean that it's not working out the way that it was designed to work out. I feel like there's maybe a measure of comfort there.
I hear you in terms of the measure of comfort. My concern is it would remove responsibility.
Why?
Because if God is all-knowing and it is all predestined, then in 90 seconds when I slap you across the face, it's predestined. It's what was supposed to happen. And you can't tell me it wasn't. And I have no responsibility for it.
But see, the problem is you're then thinking about it as if we... You didn't slap me, you slapped the table. Because you may... See, God knew. God knew. and I did too, by the way. But I think that it doesn't excuse us from having a responsibility. Because the thing is that we are still responsible for what we do. I think it's just got to be an understanding, perhaps, that even though we know that if we choose to sleep in instead of going to shul, and then use the excuse of, well, it was raining during one of the five shacharit minyans that I, you know,
that I normally go to,
and by the way, dry during all the other four, we can't say, well, you know, God knew that I wasn't going to go. Because I think that we're still responsible for the fact that we didn't go. And I think it's reasonable to say that we are responsible for that choice. Because we still made a choice. It's just the understanding that I don't know that I believe that the all-knowing, all-being, all-everything goes, oh, you know, I thought it was going to go this time.
I'm not suggesting that God says, I don't know what's going to happen. What I'm suggesting is there needs to be the responsible party who says, no, this was my choice.
100%.
It was my choice to decide to go or not to go. It was my choice to decide whether or not to fall in love with and marry my wife. It was my choice to decide if I was going to take this job or not take this job. Now, what jobs were available at the time when I was looking? What options existed in a reasonable geographic area, or if I was looking and I only look on these five websites for jobs, and it was on some way other website that I never heard of and can't find, you know, those, right, those may be out of our control. But at the end of the day, right, the things that are in our control, I think we have to be able to take responsible for and recognize, right, just like the insurance industry does to a certain extent, that there are things called acts of God that are not in our control. The storm of the century that comes and blows through and keeps us, right, from being able to do X, Y, or Z, or when all of a sudden I was reminded about COVID davening this morning, right, and the idea that you know, we were told here in Florida that on Yom Kippur morning we should not be davening outside, and so everyone should daven in their own home for the first year during COVID. Right? That is an act of God, and something that's outside of our purview and outside of our choice. But yet, at the same time, we have a choice how we react to it. And so the idea that we have to ultimately take responsibility for our actions and inactions, at least the ones that we can control, is what keeps us from, I think, in many cases, just becoming, you know, bums on a log. Because otherwise, if I say, God will provide for me, or God won't.
I believe the phrase is bumps on a log.
No, I literally meant a bum sitting on a log, because I'll just sit around and wait. God will provide the food. God will provide the money. God will provide the job. I just have to sit here and wait for it to show up. But we don't say that. We say that each person has to do their own hishtadlut, their own part to make something happen.
Interesting idea, Avi. Interesting idea. Because what I basically think, if I'm hearing you correctly, is what you're suggesting is that the concept of Sheli Shelach Veshelcha Shelach may not be what we are supposed to do, even though we did the Mishnah that because, right, the idea is that we can't be just sitting waiting around for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide. As a throwback to our discussion from earlier this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is put out there as relationship between human beings. Here we're talking about a relationship between a human being and God. And when we talk about that, it's a very different dynamic, right? When we turn to God and we ask for things, it is not Sheli Shelach or Shelach Shelach or Shelach Sheli. It is the way that a parent takes care of a child. It is not equals who say, well, I have property and you have property. What property am I willing to give you, or what property are you willing to trade me? Or, right? This is the parent who says, I give to you unconditionally. And the child who sometimes has to be able to look back and say, I recognize all that you have given me, parent. I'm appreciative of it.
Well, okay, all right. I think we might be on the same page saying something very similar, if not exactly the same, just slightly different.
I agree. I don't think we're so far off, but I do think there's some important nuanced differences. And in particular, the idea of being able to take personal responsibility for one's actions.
No, I think we're on the same page. I think we both think that one should take responsibility for one's own actions.
Right.
I just think that God knows what we were going to do before we did it.
So if you ask my personal belief, I believe that God knows all the options and therefore is not surprised by any of the potential choices that we've made.
I guess there are times when I think it applies a step further, and just using the parent analogy where you know, we watch our children, one goes up and snatches away something from the older one. We all know what's going to happen. Even though there are several options. But we know our children, and we know that particular child who had something snatched from them. Whether or not the response will be, all right, I'll let them have it because they're 10 years younger than me, and I'll just take it back in a couple of minutes when they lose interest, or I'm going to walk over and wallop them until they give it back, or I'm going to go tell the parent, or what have you. I think that in that same vein, I agree, there are several options. I think we're on the same page. There are several options. But I do think that we know our children, and we know which ones they're going to, which choice they will make. And I think perhaps where that analogy separates is that because we are not all-knowing, our children do sometimes pleasantly or unpleasantly surprise us in their response. But I think that God probably goes, yeah, they did exactly what I knew they were going to do. And I don't know that that's a bad thing, and I don't know that that's a we don't have responsibility for it. Again, I agree that we are responsible for what we do. And maybe it's the idea of both of us saying that, again, to use a different movie reference, in The Devil's Advocate. Again, another old movie, so if you haven't seen it, too bad. It's decades old.
Spoiler alert, it's at least 20 years old.
Yes. You know, where when Al Pacino says that God is a little boy with a magnifying glass and we're all ants, I think we both agree God doesn't have a magnifying glass. He's not trying to set us on fire. I think that we might be in an ant farm and God knows exactly which direction we're going. So here's your question for around your table. What do you think? How do you
envision,
conceptualize the relationship between the free will that we have, that we know we have because we're told we have it, which is perhaps an argument against free will if you're told you have free will. That's another talk for another day. But knowing that we also have an all-knowing, all-powerful, clairvoyant deity that knows everything.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to reach us, you can reach us at iqdiscuss@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you and responding.